ludicrous mode audio face when we go straight to like singles and news. Okay.
It's new style audio face. Gorillas present Cracker Island.
Ow. Yeah, I'll let you say that. Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I am Dan.
I am Sean.
This is episode 233 of this here podcast, and the world is terrible, but the music is really great.
I mean, this has been the mantra of the podcast since the inception of it, and we're going to keep that going.
Yeah, I'm definitely failing at Mr. Krabs this week, but we have new singles. We're going to get to them in a moment in this new segment of in this new style of Audio Face, where we basically just go deep into the music of the week. But we have the albums that we're going to do very shortly: Give or Take by Giveon, Ugly Season by Perfume Genius, and Sometimes Forever by Soccer Mommy. And then in the members portion, we have a wide variety of news, of course, covering what a lot of musicians are reacting to, the Supreme Court rulings that strike down Roe v. Wade, people's broad access to and abortions now left up to states in the United States. And a lot of artists have opinions about that, rightfully so. A little information. Oh, the thing we teased last week about the Gunna letter, birthday letter. We're doing that. And Nickelback just can't catch a break. And they definitely won't be catching a break on Audio Face. Also, how many cigarettes does Post Malone smoke in a day? Don't Google it. We're just going to play a little game. And it'll be very fun, I'm pretty sure.
I like it.
All right. Let's start with the singles, as promised. First one, of course, Break My Soul by Beyoncé. It's sort of a, I think, sort of a very late to the party, sort of like great resignation album is kind of what's being called in like mainstream press or like record, so to speak, because it's one song. And it signals more Beyoncé stuff to come. But it also, in a number of different things, signals this so-called pop return to house that people are, ignorant people, I'll say, are saying Drake started last week, essentially, with his album. Being idiots, Sean, idiots. But this song, I liked this song more than anything on Drake's album, which is not really saying that much, but it's still a pretty solid, like, pop kind of song.
It's a great, it's a good return for Beyoncé. It's a good track. It's, you know, stuff that we like from her, of, you know, being very powerful. Her vocals sound great. The production sounds great. But it's, you know, a dancey tune, which is good. So it's a nice little pivot for her in that way. And it's very different from Drake's trying to be dance hall music stuff. So this is more like your 90s style of like disco house and stuff, you know, some Giorgio Moroder produced tracks and stuff that you've got in the 80s and 90s. So it's more of that, which I prefer personally, but I think it's actually done very well. It'd be interesting to see what the record sounds like when it's released. And but if this is a sign of what's to come, I am all for it.
Yeah, if anything, there's folks like Dua Lipa and Charlie XCX and Lady Gaga even who have done disco pop style inspired pivots over the past couple years.
Lady Gaga's record last year was fantastic.
Yeah, these are all phenomenal records. So was Dua Lipa's record. I think that was maybe 1 or 2 years ago, but all these are really phenomenal records. I'm liking this turn. I think Beyoncé can provide just enough of a different spin on it, so it doesn't become what has been sort of a repetitive trope now. Because I think now most artists who come out with this sort of somewhat future callback thing to the 80s, I'm going to like only reserve that for the upper echelon of artists to really execute really well. I'm talking about like the artists I just mentioned, but also maybe The Weeknd comes to mind.
Yeah, definitely The Weeknd comes to mind.
Next, one of my favorite songs I've ever done in new singles on Audio Face, Late to the Party, aka FBET, by Lil Nas X, and Young Boy Never Broke Again.
You better say that shit for somebody else. Don't try me, cause bitch, I can't be late to the party. Yeah, you know we gotta. Yeah, fuck.
Oh, this man. This is beautiful. Why be better? Why be better?
Why,
goddamn it. Why
be stupendous?
I mean, like. Off the chain, like, this is gonna be award-winning audio face. Like, just...
Lil Nas X is an undefeated troll. Youngboy NBA reporting live from house arrest is in rare form. Together, I did not think it would work. It's butter. It's great. And to top it all off, it is capping... It's like a phenomenal song. It's gonna do numbers. And it's capping off not just Lil Nas X's unparalleled ability to troll anyone who is in his way, but it caps off this beef that he's having with BET, to where they gave a lot of attention to him on social media, and Lil Nas X had a run of a year last year, even though I'd say his record wasn't groundbreaking in any sort of way. It produced pop hit after pop hit after pop hit, and for the BET to kind of snub him this year for awards, I think it's kind of ridiculous. BET responded saying that, oh, we've recognized him for and nominated him for awards in the past, and he's performed and stuff like that, so it's obviously we're not like not recognizing him. But it there's a fair argument to be made about homophobia in the Black community. What Lil Nas X is saying, okay, BET gives flowers to Frank Ocean or Tyler the Creator or whatever, right? And that's totally fine. But is there any artist that BET gives recognition to who is as outwardly, flamboyantly gay as me? Or gayer? Because that exists in the music industry. They're killing it in the music industry. They don't get any recognition from BET, let alone like what Lil Nas X kind of is able to bubble up at the surface. And they're Black, so like it's in the balls in BET's court here. And the fact that the song begins and ends with "fuck BET" as a chant, just
and it's as a bop too.
I screw it. My podcast, No Name Woke Award nominated, absolutely for later this year on the Audio Phase Awards. I think that's justified.
Why not?
It's just executed so well. YB is so good.
Brilliant.
When the production is like matching there, because we reviewed YB albums where it's like, you know, the production is lacking a little bit, but I think lyrically, YB is one of like the best of the new school.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, what's the name of the new Gorilla single with Thundercat?
Gorillaz presents Cracker Island. So we got Cracker Island single by Gorillaz featuring Thundercat, also known as Crackster Island.
We're not streaming on Twitch yet, so that's fine. But this appears to be a sign of a new Gorillaz record, perhaps a Song Machine Season 2, something that seems to be kind of cult related, the Lost Cult, something like that. There was a lot of allusions to the Gorillaz lore of a return to Plastic Beach, especially in the Lost Chord music video.
Plastic Beach.
Snoop Dogg's done two Gorillaz records, to my knowledge. Actually, there's Something Like By This Night that was on the Gorillaz, that was on a Snoop Dogg record a long time ago, so you could call that three. So would not be surprised to see another Gorillaz collaboration with Snoop Dogg.
I'm down.
Once again, Damon Albarn has Black friends. But this is... It's a really solid record. I had to find myself making sure... Because, like, Gorillaz are one of my favorite bands. I just saw them at Primavera. They did a phenomenal show, considering how senior Damon is out there. The man still absolutely got it and still, like, bringing out energy and performance and even remembering most of the lyrics. And production-wise, Thundercat adds a really kind of, well, I can only assume it's Thundercat, like a really funky bass line to it that's almost reminiscent of the best parts of Song Machine, which were reminiscent of Demon Days and Plastic Beach. So they're
two best records. Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing all of the right things here, but it still doesn't sound like they're rehashing Demon Days or Plastic Beach. Much like Song Machine, they are continuing to push the ball forward, which is, again, incredible for a band to do this long.
Love this track. Love it. I've listened to this a lot. I really like how upbeat it is. It's, again, there's our two favorite bands, and there are two favorite groups for a reason, because they... Gorillaz, Radiohead, / all the boys, they constantly reinvent themselves, but stay true to themselves as artists, right? So they're not doing too much of a pivot to where it's unrecognizable in a way, but they're still trying to push their sound for, like, what can I do with my limitations as a person, as limitations as a human? What can I do? What can I still make? And Damon still has it. I don't know how. I don't know how. What drugs he's on to do that. But I need to be on them so I can make as much shit as he's on, because it's absurd the amount that Damon pumps out. But in this quality too, because there was a kind of a lapse of quality here or there. Maybe I'd say 5-6 years ago, especially like the Human stuff. Some of it kind of was a little drawn out. But the past 3 years, it's been fantastic.
Not to sound like a Drake fan, but For Humans has not totally grown on me, but it's definitely grown on a lot of people, considering that for a lot of like new Zoomers, like Humans is, people say that Humans is their favorite album, or like Humans is what got them into Gorillaz, or like their favorite Gorillaz album, so to speak. Not their favorite album, but like, I'm like, damn, okay, whatever. There is something where Damon is able to reach and span the generations that even like myself as like a very, very old head Gorillaz fan don't even get. But we've done indulging myself. Lastly, let's indulge Sean and go to Alpha Zulu by Phoenix. This is a new single by Phoenix, so presumably they're coming out. I mean, we do know for a fact they are coming out with new work, I think this summer or early this fall.
Around that time, soon.
Yeah, you had some thoughts about the single, just like wanting to push it to this week. What do you think about it? Singing hallelujah. Run for your life, cover your eyes. Alpha Zulu. I choose your body over time.
It was interesting. When I first heard Alpha Zulu, I actually heard it on SiriusXMU, and I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't know that Phoenix put out a new single. But it was like literally like 4 hours after they released it, I heard it, and I was like, well, this
Sirius
is interesting.
SiriusXMU gets so much easy, like free ad play on this podcast.
they really do. You know, there's, once Jason Bentley left, Maureen becomes eclectic. I had to find a new thing, and I really like the radio host that early in the morning, because he's great. Josiah
Influential curator on this podcast. Right. But anyways, yes. Sorry. So you first heard them there, and
at first, when I heard it, I was like, I don't really like the pivot that they're doing, more of that like overproduced pop in a way. But then I listened to it a few more times, and then it grew on me a bit, because going back to, you know, some of Phoenix's most popular work, you know, Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix in 2009. My favorite work is their untitled record in early 2000s and like Long Distance Call era Phoenix and stuff. But listening to some of their poppier tunes that I forgot that they did make, it makes sense in the way that Alpha Zulu sounds. It's more of a modern interpretation on some of their older sounds. So now I've gone into it, and I've actually grown to like it in a way. It's still like leaves me on edge of wondering what they're going to make, but I'm still like, I'm on the edge of either way, like leaning either way. If they make the album sound a lot like this, I'm not gonna like it. But if it's like just one track, and then they have more of like a concept record that they've made with Chiamo and stuff in the past, then I think they could still do really good work. So it's just, it's interesting. It's definitely a pivot.
Yeah, I felt
just,
like,
just don't Lonely Hearts Sacred Club me, please. Whatever you do.
the Foster the People record that just really turns Sean on one.
Please don't do that to me.
For me, I actually, yeah, I, definitely it was an interesting pivot. But yeah, first listen, I was not, didn't have as bad opinions as like you did, because you immediately invoked the Foster People record, at least when we last talked about it. But my first listen was eh. My second and third subsequent listens are enjoying it a little bit more. I feel like it hasn't been since Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, since the Phoenix record really had a lot of longevity for me. And this is sort of like my last chance, considering what we are reviewing on this podcast and a lot of different artists that are like coming up now, to kind of give Phoenix a shot and see, okay, do you still have that staying power that a lot of artists a decade out are able to have? I mean, it's been kind of, I mean, Phoenix has been like longer than a decade, but it's been a decade since Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix. And they've had a storied and really strong ability to do it, but go on.
Yeah, I mean, Tiamo was a good record, and then Bankrupt had a couple really good tracks on it too. Just Bankrupt didn't have as much, had too much filler compared to Tiamo. Tiamo, I thought, was actually very well done, like an indie scene of 2017. But the issue is they did one sound for a really long time and like perfected it, and now it's interesting to hear them. You know, they are trying to actively change it, which can benefit a doubt. But again, we'll see in the context of a full record. To see what they're doing, but I mean, they've been a group for 20 years, so it's really hard to keep going. So excited for the record, but still cautiously optimistic.
Definitely. And we've got
Don't Foster People Me, goddammit.
Don't Foster People You, yeah. We have more singles to letters like On the Bubble that we would like to listen to, but it's been so much music this week, and we have albums that are on the bubble that we want to listen to. But again, like, we'll just have to get to them in subsequent weeks or members episodes. But send them single suggestions to audiophase@syndicate23.co. We have a member suggestion on the bubble that we're going to get to, but I just like have not. We just, it's been a busy summer. It's been a busy 2022 music wise and otherwise. So we'll get to it next week. On the Power Report side, of course, the big news is the Roe v. Wade decision. I just did an episode with Yasmin Aliyah Khan, who's a very common guest on Power Report, and we kind of broke down what's happening immediately in states, what is the actual history of Roe v. Wade. We didn't go like too deep into it. It's very approachable, just so people can actually understand what kind of impacts this had, so they can see through these talking points against kind of the act and measure. And then we can kind of turn our attention to the Democrats, because again, as I've said many times, Republicans hate you, Democrats fail you. So we talked about we talked about what they could do. Since I've now rendering and publishing the episode as we speak, the Democrats have already doubled down and saying they're not going to do the things that they could do, which is very typical. But they will sing and fundraise. So, I mean, at least there's that for political action. So they get 23 membership update. What?
I said hippity hoppity.
Oh, God. Yes. Okay, Syndicate 23 membership updates. We're going to continue dumping out content out here. You're going to really see a ramp up of Power Report very soon. The weekly live streams are coming. They've been talking about it all year. This is around the time they are planned to happen anyways. So that should be exciting. Just going to be more Power Report, but also more Audio Face stuff. We have a whole like team behind Audio Face now, which is really exciting. It's going to help Sean and I prepare for bonus episodes, which I want to get back to doing again. And to help support all the stuff as we're growing really quickly, syndicate23.co for all that information. Advertise with us at info@syndicate23.co. Check out the still untitled 2022 playlist.
No, we're just leaving it at that. That's what it is.
We're done. That's kind of where I'm at this year.
No, I love seeing the untitled 2022 AF playlist. I need to go for my Apple Music now and add some shit to the Spotify one.
Yeah, please do. And thank you, Peter, for mastering all the episodes on Syndicate 23. If you are a musician who needs stuff mastered, making it sound nice and pretty for your EP rollout, get to Dead Music Productions, deadmusic666 on Insta. All right, and usually we do news in this portion of the episode. We're going to do news for the members portion, but of course we have to mention the Roe v. Wade stuff. And for people who are looking for resources of that, who can direct the resources not to the Democratic Party, but to places that are actually providing services to people who are most affected in these states, there's a website called donateabortions.com that will link you to all the state-level resources that will help. Because hashtag no politics, but in the Power Report episode, we talk about the importance of local and state politics because national politics is full of ghouls left and right. So on that bombshell, let's begin with the albums. So we have our first album of the week, which is Giveon's Give or Take. It is 15 songs, 45 minutes long. And Giveon is a rising kind of like slash risen R&B neo-pop artist. Mm-hmm. Of course, we hate the term R&B on Audioface because it's generally just a pejorative for Black people music. And this is representative of how pop music just sounds like. It's just influences with soul and neo-soul and funk and all these other different things. And boy, do you get these things here. Probably one of my favorite things about this record, not only is it tightly produced and has variety to make me go, oh, this isn't just another like neo-pop slash R&B singer-songwriter record. This something with meat. This is something with a lot of merit. But Giveon knows his vocal range and works within it so well. There's no like straining. There's no like weird falsetto-y stuff that you get from a lot of pop artists these days who are just trying to flex or trying to get certain moments in songs for whatever reason. Giveon just knows his craft and does it to a science. And what you get is a wonderfully complete record. And it's his longest yet. His records have been getting longer, these albums. But I think this feels like his most complete proper work yet out of the I want to say like three major albums he's done so far.
I was able to listen to it two times through, and the second listen I really got to appreciate a bit more. The first one I enjoyed. I thought it was a little long on first listen through, but second listen through it felt like it played through a lot better and felt like that it was able to comprehend it a little bit more. I really, really like the second track, The Scarred. Fantastic with that, like, you know, mixing that neo pop with almost like that house-ish beat with the drums and everything that I really like. So there's a lot of things on here that I agree with you on. I love his vocals on it. I really, really like it. The production is just like top notch, top through bottom. Everything plays through very well, which is nice. And I'm actually impressed with it in a way. The only thing would maybe like a couple little like of the interludes here or there. I thought like you could get away with maybe like they don't really need to be there. Might be my biggest critique. But
yeah, the lowercase songs that have dates. There's just like, you know, I call it Dan planning things because it's like exactly how I just like type and do shit. Like all lowercase. Are you free on December 11th? hey, let's do something on July 16th. Both of these are names of songs.
In some of the tracks, there's little things here or there that like you could cut out or you don't necessarily need to be there. I understand like what he's trying to do with them, but that's just like,
add musician voicemails. Throw that down on your bingo cards, everyone, because we got a couple of those.
Don't do that. I've never been a fan of those.
I totally get you there. I think very rarely have they been executed well. This point is just now very cheesy. And I do think the interlude songs, like those date ones that we talked about, are, I could have gone without them for sure. They could potentially drag the record on a little bit. But I actually thought for interlude tracks, they were really, like, a fairly solid.
They're solid for tracks. Like, don't get me wrong.
And I was going to say, like, they add to the musical and, like, production range that's on here, because like without some of the acoustic track, like that acoustic track you get from the first dated one, December 16th or December 11th, that helps provide range that I think makes the transition between Scarred and tracks that have a little bit more energy later on through the album. I think that makes it more smooth.
Okay, I could see that. I mean, this overall, I think it's actually a very good project. I like it a lot. Like towards the end of it, I really like Another Heartbreak, At Least We Tried, and the last of Flash Jack of Unholy Matrimony. That were all very good. But like, it's nice to hear these neo-pop, you know, that throwback almost ish sounding to like your mid early 2000s era neo-pop stuff.
I think about you every day. Girl, I won't be here for long. So baby, if you hear this song, can you come to me? Pretty brown skin in Houston, I could use your company.
Hone them in and produce tracks around it to where it's very cohesive and you still get a thoroughly produced, nice record throughout it. So I think in that way, and for someone who has as much of a stature as Giveon, it's good in that way.
Yeah, I think For Tonight is one of the best songs that illustrates that voice as an instrument thing. And
because all I want to do is lie with you, even though it's wrong to lie with you. We've become numb to what we know.
Even with, all the artists you mentioned before, like, no disrespect to them, I even say, like, The Weeknd, who I just, like, praised earlier in this podcast, who,
he can be guilty of that sometimes. Yeah. Khaled, for sure.
Yeah, to the point where, along with Sam Smith and a lot of these other vocalists, like, it can, not ruin, but, like, impact the way my desire to come back to a track, let's say, for sure. My desire to want to replay it, go through it again. This is definitely like one of my slower, moodier type of moods I'd be in to listen to this record, generally out of like my own sort of going about with things. Sure. But just that, since the Adele record, really, I haven't been this impressed by a vocalist's work in the context of like a singular vocalist doing this kind of album and going for it. No features. Very bold.
Oh, I forgot to mention that too. Yeah, no features. Doesn't fucking need it, honestly.
Straight J. Cole in it out here. It's very good, and I do like what you're saying. I think that it gets to kind of a crescendo point. Some of the last songs, like Lie Again to some extent and Another Heartbreak, Another Heartbreak less for sure, but At Least We Tried definitely are like faster, like more like quote unquote loud songs, considering this is like a slower, mellow record. But the last two, like you were saying, Remind Me and Holy Matrimony do a really great job of landing the plane and giving you like a good experience of listening to it front to back.
You didn't have to do a go around, smooth it out on center line.
No turbulence flipping the plane like 40 minutes before entry.
No, you didn't. You didn't inadvertently like put the wrong aileron in your slip, and you fucking flipped the plane on final. May or may not have accidentally done that once. So
I don't know. I've been watching the YouTube compilations lately. For some reason, I'm getting them now. Maybe because we share the AudioFace account. But anyways,
AudioFace account.
Arbitrary scale this week. We do arbitrary scales every week on AudioFace because our review is our review. If we had an actual scale for it, it would just ruin the sanctity of marriage. Okay, let's put it like that. So this week it's gonna be cigarette brands, and I'm gonna give this consulate.
Consulate, that's a good.
It's a very classic cigarette brand. It's notably not smooth per se. I think they're in England generally, and these are they're sort of like the Newport for people who wear bowler hats.
This is definitely Rothmans for sure. Solid Rothmans.
Rothmans cigarettes. Google is going to think I have a problem after this.
You know how I'm doing this, by the way, this arbitrary scale? I'm just looking at old Formula One sponsorships because I was all tobacco for about like 40 years. I know Rothman sponsored Williams from the in the 90s.
Folks, we love it. Remember, you can help grow AudioFace by subscribing to us at our rapidly growing YouTube channel, youtube.com/AudioFacePod, youtube.com/AudioFacePod. Subscribe or follow to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or pretty much wherever you're listening to podcasts. That helps. If there's some like algorithm in your podcast app like there is with Apple and Spotify that you can give it 5 stars or give it a thumbs up or anything like that, please do, because that'll definitely... that'll definitely make things helpful and help us grow. We really appreciate it. Kind of like we said on PowerPort, there is plenty of Roe v. Wade stuff, and there's stuff on Elon Musk's Twitter takeover on the podcast feed that I forgot to publish. So I was like, oh, I can't go episode 44, 46. So let me just, in the words of Lil Uzi Vert, shoot 2 at her. So anyways, too soon. Anyways, so Ugly Season by Perfume Genius. Ready to review that?
Let's do it. Why not? Let's hop in it. Yes. So Ugly Season, 10 songs, 52 minutes long. Perfume Genius is one of my favorite indie artists, where he's done a lot of work since, I think his first record was in 2010. Some of his records I have, like, greatly loved. You had his I'm trying to think of the name of his record in 2017 that was out, No Shape, that I really enjoyed, and then one that came out in 2020, Set My Heart on Fire Immediately, which I listened to a shit ton in COVID. Really good. They had Too Bright and 14 as well that were good, and I didn't listen too much to his first record, but
I know Set My Heart on Fire Immediately, we again, not trying to be like coy or too soon about this, for the longest time since the inception of this podcast, we have had a concept called the court packing episode, partially related to the Supreme Court of the United States, but partially on our podcast, to cram albums that we really liked throughout the year that we barely mentioned on the podcast through the end so we can qualify them. And Set My Heart on Fire Immediately by Perfume Genius was one of my 2020 court packing picks, or like one of ours. One of us did it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I picked it, but it's very good. Like, On the Floor is one of my favorite indie tracks that has been released in recent times. So it's interesting going to Ugly Season, because I knew, like, hearing Perfume Genius talk about when he made the record, he's like, oh, I want to make like something different sounding, an experiment. And you get that with Ugly Season. It is very, very experimental in the way that it's made. It's a lot of ambient music mixed in with pop. And this took me a few listens to really get into, and it's still going to take me a lot more to completely understand the full record. But first listen is off-putting. Second and third listen, it started to really understand it. Fourth listen, I actually enjoy it a lot. And for an artist, you know, that, you know, with a lot of indie, you know, in my indie rants of going, hey, like, they keep making the same sound or this or that, or artists will kind of stick true to their sound and not push too much. Phoenix can be guilty of that. Perfume Genius's Ugly Season is him just doing a completely different pivot, and this is how you pivot, Drake. I'm looking at you, Toronto boy. This is how you do a completely different sound and do something different than no one else really does and make it your own in that way, but still be... not like completely off the cusp weird, but just different in that is. So going into like the musicality of the actual record, so I saw Just a Room, which is like a very ambient, interesting track as an opening. I wouldn't have necessarily picked that as an opener. This is the year of not great opening tracks. I've had like about 10 records and I'm like,
do you remember back when we had the?
Why did you put this?
We had the good opener track.
And you know who started that? Was Phoenix, ironically.
Yeah.
Ironically, so it's like, oh, these are great openers. Like, oh yeah, here you go, good opening tracks. But this year is bad opening tracks. Like, it's not a bad song. It's just put it somewhere else. Put it somewhere else. And I still think that's my biggest critique of this record, is put Just a Room somewhere else in the record. You can still keep it in the record, because I think it's actually cool as an ambient track, but it's extremely off-putting as the first track in it. And it can set it off on the wrong foot unless you really like experimental, weird ambient music like myself. And the same thing with Harem, too. It's really long in there, and like, again, move that somewhere else, and I think this would have actually been like a very, very good record. Teeth, the third song, it reminds me of just
really fast. You can keep going in, but like, I do think Harem is that first sort of song you can sink your teeth into. I have. I'm a subscriber to Damon Albarn album theory of like how you construct your records, and I think most of the pop world is too, because I don't think Damon Albarn reinvented the wheel. I just think that the records he does are constructed pretty nicely throughout the entire career, mm-hmm. even though the albums themselves have varying levels of quality. Looking at You, Near the Fountain, Rich Man, Poor Man, Beggar Man, Thief. like I also is kind of fond of artists that are doing. Basically make your second or third and fourth, like in that range of your songs in your album, your mm-hmm. hardest hitting, and then kind of do whatever you want to throughout the rest of the record. And this record does have parts. I think the second part, until maybe the second to last or the last song, maybe half of the second to last song, the second half of this album gets very more glitchy and electronic mm-hmm. experimental in that side. But the first half of this album is a lot more on the ambient, mm-hmm. I don't even want to say ethereal, because like Spotify named a podcast that and has Perfume Genius on the cover. That, like, that's a really good way to describe the sound.
It uses a lot
of piano, and it's not necessarily tied to a drum structure, but it still sounds very good and pleasing, and it's background music, not in the pejorative sense, but it's background music that really paints a room and paints a setting. Like, I feel like I'm going to a very calm, serene, high arts sort of event or place by listening to this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with how it, like, the way it's structured in that way, too. I really like the second half of this record a ton. But it like pops on down, which, oh, by the way, I love the title for Pops On. Love it. It's so on the nose and shit, and just like make it weird and like doing like the Billie Eilish of making something like a pop structure, a pop record that will like no one else can do in that way, and just say, I don't give a fuck, I just want to make this.
Yeah, it reeks of the same energy of Sophie, of like completely subverting pop and experimenting with it in such a way that it's borderline unrecognizable, just recognizable enough for you to understand the point that's being made.
Like the two songs in here, maybe possibly three, that like you could recognize as like, oh, these are indie pop, but they're still off the cuff, that you, it takes you a little bit, you have to like pay attention to it, because if you just listen to this background music, you'd be like, you can get unnoticed, but you like really dive into it and you're like, oh, whoa, this sounds really interesting. Is Teeth, Ugly Season, the title track, and Photograph, for sure. Those ones you can make out as like, oh, like these are. Photograph is a really good song. On the stage where we sing, I feel a silhouette. I really like it. I think that's a play this now before I forget. The way they're structured, it's off-putting and almost, it reminds me a bit of, When You Die from MGMT, from their Little Dark Age album of 2018, which is one of my favorite albums we've ever reviewed on Audioface, where it's,
ooh, yeah.
Like, you know how it ends, like, When You Die, like, kind of enters in, and it's like really off-putting and weird sounding, and but it still has a lot of resonance to it when Folkuzi goes like, go fuck yourself and all that. You get that in Ugly Season, you get that in Photograph in a way, but it's more of a glitchy sense that, you know, yeah, you can have that Sophie comparison. You can have like Yonzi, like his solo record of a couple years ago that we reviewed as well, where I'm starting to really enjoy these records that are being made that it's like has that glitch pop sound, that has that glitchy weird sound. It's interesting because, you know, when we reviewed Sophie, you loved it, I didn't at all. But now when more and more artists are now starting to like go towards that sound and go towards something that is changing and you feel the tides changing, we could start to get that now. Where we've had about 4 or 5 records that we've reviewed the past 2 years that I've thoroughly enjoyed, this being one where I can start to say, what is the sound of the 2020s? This can be one of those sounds.
What is That's sound a really good observation. I think it's an amazing observation to make the same week, weeks or period of time in the summer 2022 when Drake and Beyonce are coming out with projects that people are seeing as reinventions of dance music or bringing back dance music. And like, no, there have been artists, some people have mentioned Kay Tronada, but I mean, even Kay Tronada is giving flowers to artists who have been incorporating dance into different genres for a while now. But the true new sound, what we're probably going to look at in the 2020s is what we're seeing in the late 2010s of hyperpop bubbling up from the surface, having its influences in rap music, in dance music, taken from dance music, of course, and incorporating pop in kind of like a cynical way, but in such a good way that now you're starting to see it done by so many different artists that even if the really glitchy, intense, fast-paced stuff isn't for you, you'll find it somewhere in music in a way that it does work for you. It does work really well. And the way that it the way that this album specifically transforms from something that is very airy and piano filled to something that then becomes very, you know, electronic and not chaotic, but still full of depth and context. It's another one of those, this is good music that makes me criticize or harshly look at music that feels phoned in or where they're not really trying at all. Not every effort should be or needs to be experimental or wild or like, big brain.
I don't want that.
I've criticized records. Like I think that Phineas's most recent record, for example, is too high level music thinking, right? Like I think it's just like goes over a lot of people's heads to the point where it sacrifices being more enjoyable as a record, but
it's just like when you get that one philosophy guy who you like, he's your friend, right? But you just go on a tangent that is unnecessary and no one understands unless you're in the industry. I could be guilty of this of aviation, and it's like it just goes over, and then you just the person just walks out of the conversation, and that other person's like, oh no, what did I do? What did I say? You're too smart for your own good in that way. So
friends. How many of us have them? I mean, like, we're both similarly neurotic in this way. And I think the podcast fans have gotten used to our different neuroses over the times, whether it is golf lingo or hockey lingo or politics or cars or anything of that stuff. Yeah. We'll find some other obsessions. That'd be really interesting to do. And like when we start doing Audio Face Live, if we start like getting in some of these like member obsessions, we can use those for arbitrary scales and get into that. But anyways, speaking of arbitrary scales, which you can watch another Audio Face review and wait till the end for me to explain arbitrary scales again. I'm just not going to do it now.
Basically, this album is damn good. Listen to it. It's weird. It's off-putting. Perfume Genius is one of my favorite artists now.
Yeah.
That's a review. Cigarette Brands. Do it.
Mm. You gave it for Rothman's me, this is.
Yeah, I did Rothman's.
Mm. I think
this for me is 100% American Spirits, 100%.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was gonna go for
one hipster's love.
I was gonna go for Lucky Strike.
Lucky Strike, that's a good one too. Solid in the filter,
a nice solid, you know. It's not Jewel.
Good in the 40s.
It's not Ban This. Jewelers punch in the air right now. We had to pick one demographic to upset this week, and so I think Jewels was just the safest one.
Fine. I'll allow it. Sometimes Forever by Soccer Mommy. It is 11 songs, 42 minutes long. Soccer Mommy, we reviewed her 2020 record of Color Siri that I wasn't particularly a fan of. I think you liked it a bit more than I did. But
I barely Soccer remember Mommy's, that. Wow.
And then Soccer Mommy's one of those indie artists that I think there's some good things that she's done and other things where I thought that they're kind of eh, depending on what it is. You know, in that realm of Snail Mail and a bunch of other of the women artists that are on there, I mean, they're killing it in indie, but at the same time, like, they are that tried and true bedroom pop sound that I think they need to start to reinvent themselves in a way, just to push the genre forward, to push themselves forward as musicians and all of that. But with Sometimes Forever, you get, you know, more of that tried and true indie sound that it's starting to wear down on me a bit, to where I can get a little eh on it here or there. But I think for Soccer Mommy's sound, I think it's actually a step in the right direction, because she really hones in on her voice a lot. And the main thing that I took from this, the production's okay, and the song and the construction of the tracks are okay. Some of them are decent, some of them are just really bland, but the songwriting itself, like the lyrics, are great. I really, really like that. So, but I'll get into to the tracks. So you have Bones, the opening track, and it reminds me like of a bunch of sound, you know, like the sounds that we've been hearing the past 4 or 5 years of indie, and it's like, all right, it's decent, it's, you know, milquetoast neoliberal centralism, so it's not going to do anything crazy. With You, the second track, I like how it has like this interesting chime work that sounds like early Coldplay, I would say, in the way like it kind of goes through, but that sound is honestly is started from OK Computer, ironically, from Radiohead in the late 90s. So it's kind of cool to hear that. And I always wondered, not chime, but like an interesting like piano theme that's going in the background with You.
Got it. I mean, like, some
it reminds me of a chime, like that. Like how it wrote, like how it goes up and down in that way. That makes sense.
I hear you. To me, like a lot. I mean, like, I still get a lot of that, like OK Computer similarity with You, like like kick drums in the back, the going over every sort of string strumming that you sort of get from that era of Johnny Greenwood's work. That's really nice and characteristic. All that for the better. And yeah, while you're continuing to go in the review, I'll say that I went into this, and maybe my first like half or full listen to it was, oh no, this is more of that, like, you know, tried and true indie, so to speak, that Sean and I are starting to get a little bit tired of. And we're sort of like, make indie weird again. We want to be kind of more like Perfume Genius, for example, where it's really pushing the boundaries of what, not just what we can call music, because we're not like saying make indie death grips again, but we're also saying like push the boundaries of what a general like approachable album can sound like, especially in indie, when there's so much, probably arguably more than any genre out there right now that you can pull from. But I think the deeper you get into the album, the more kind of light experimentation you get.
And kind of what I was alluding to with You, I was always wondering when with the grunge throwback sound that we've been getting the past few years in indie, when they would start to not just do like literally just straight like Smashing Pumpkins sounding grunge, but when we would get like the experimentals 90s, because there's a lot of indie 90s, which is what the 2000s ended up, you know, getting to, that I've been waiting for indie to get to. And you get this on this record, and that's where, kind of like what you were alluding to as well, like the end of the record, you get a little bit more experimentation through it, and like with the lyricism and everything, and some interesting different sounds that you get to that I do appreciate. And that's where I think it's a step in the right direction for Soccer Mommy. I mean, she's young. She's, you know, 20 or 21, something like that. So a lot of these artists are, you know, barely in their 20s. So they have a huge room for growth to see what they're able to do. But I think that some of the records that we've been listening to recently has been giving me a little bit of hope within indie, that now we're kind of stepping away from that sound, or like we've started to perfect that, and now we can, a lot of these artists, I want them to try and, you know, get out of their comfort zone. You know, you don't need to be in the square box. You could go into something completely different and stay tried and true to yourself as an artist, because, you know, you're trying to create, you're trying to do stuff, but I don't want people just to go and, oh, hey, like, this sounds cool, let me try to make my own version of this. I don't want that anymore. And I think with her record in 2020, Color Theory, I thought it was very bland. I didn't like it that much. But with Sometimes Forever, now she got to this record where now it's like, okay, she can make good indie. She can make fantastic, like, bedroom pop, 90s grunge sound. All right, now what's the next thing? You have some interesting ideas in here. Songwriting is brilliant, but now add from that songwriting, you know, from the piece of paper to then bringing it into the production room and everything, I want to have that, reach that next step of, okay, now I want to add this sound to this. Think of a sound when you're thinking of lyrics in that way. And when you have that and you can do that, that's when we could start to see indie like explode again, which it tends to do in general, but I think we're starting to get that pivot, as I said in the Perfume Genius review as well. So I think it's a good effort from her. You have, I'll just go over a couple of tracks I like. With You, naturally, the second track, Shotgun, I thought was pretty good in the middle of the record. Follow Eyes, Feel It All the Time towards the end, I thought were very good.
I really
as
like
well.
Darkness so. Forever. It's like that really.
Darkness
really
Forever? Yeah, that's a good
kind
one.
Of, turn to it. It gets a lot slower in there. Shotgun will definitely be, I mean, like, just looking at the numbers, will definitely be a favorite for a lot of people from the album as well.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even see the numbers are doing that well. I never looked at numbers, to be fair.
It's hard to avoid when I'm on the desktop version.
Oh, yeah, fair play on that. But, yeah.
Shotgun, like, really encapsulates that kind of, you know, post-grungy alternative callback thing, but, you know, that's tried and true stuff in indie. I definitely want to see indie. And I will say it's a harder time because it's a very saturated market right now. And a lot of the callbacks that would be really good right now, like, it's now 4 or 5 years since I said funk is back. And now we're almost getting to an oversaturation of funk, which I thought would be awesome. Too much sauce.
You never want to oversaturation of anything, whatever it is. And that's why, like, as we said with Perfume Genius, I don't want everybody to do glitch pop. I don't want everybody to sound the same. That's not, when we say try something different, we literally mean try something different. And it doesn't necessarily mean you need to be experimental and weird just for the sake of being experimental and weird, but we want you to do step out of your comfort zone and see what you can create. Everybody has their own limitations, you know, and as I said too, with like the Grills thing, Damon Albarn knows what he does in his own limitations, but he keeps trying to do that one bit further, and just to see what he could do. And that's how you stay true to yourself as an artist. And that doesn't necessarily need to stay within one group if you want to, you know, like, we see that with plenty of people. They do solo stuff, they do groups with other people and everything, and collaborate and try to get different ideas that bounce off of each other and all of that. So I want that with indie, and I think we're getting close to it. that in the beginning of the year, I was really disappointed and it was just negative. And now it's like, okay, we're getting closer and closer to it. And yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction for Soccer Mommy. So decent record. Don't want more from a lot of these artists, which is good. Good. It's not like we're saying stop making music, because we have told many people on this podcast to stop making music. So there's that.
And we probably will in the members portion that we'll be getting up to very soon. Syndicate 23 members, join.syndicate23.co to get all the extra stuff. But before we wrap up this review and this episode for the week, arbitrary scale, cigarette brands, what will it be?
It's Viceroy's.
That's... It's a very quick draw McGraw on that one.
And two reasons. A, hipsters. B, Mac DeMarco song. There you go.
I'm going to give this Pall Malls.
Pall Malls? All right.
Mostly just out of branding and which ones just feel the most like, yeah, pass me a Pall Mall, damn it.
Where are they from? What nationality is Pall Mall?
I am not sure, actually. But before this becomes the has to be censored by the government for some random reason in like 30 years podcast, this has been Audio Face. Like we said, we'll have more stuff to talk about in the members portion. Join.syndicate23.co for that. Very cheap. Lots of content. Lots of really good content. Stuff that, you know, escapes the wild doldrums of social media feeds and is actually substantive and fun. You can find Sean on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez if we trust you. You can find me at Dan from the Web on Twitter, Dan from the Internet on Instagram and Instagram and TikTok, and then Dan from the Web on Twitch. Jesus Christ. I'm gonna get that one day. The entire show can be found at AudioFacePod. Again, youtube.com/AudioFacePod. Subscribe. Thank you very much. We will talk to you next week. Cheers.
Bye.